The selection of this lesson of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is actually a fairly recent shift from the traditional reading of Maundy Thursday in the Last Supper. I remember a number of years ago when it was first introduced by the International Consultation on English Texts. With the reading, they suggested that in church on Maundy Thursday, we should reenact this tradition of washing feet. Well, let me tell you, those people were not from Minnesota. In late March and early April, no one was wearing sandals. Visualize something more like boots or hiking shoes. Yes, even the women. And certainly some form of socks or stockings, given the outside temperature. So even when we first invited volunteers to come forward for the foot washing, it was a clumsy experience at best. And actually, it was a huge distraction from the mood of the day. Well, our thoughts have evolved. Lord of Life in Bluffton tried one year hand washing instead, but it wasn't the same. Kneeling at one's feet is a different experience. So here at St. John's now, we ask a few from the congregation to come prepared to allow their feet to be washed. That symbolism works pretty good. But if you have a pastor like me with two rebuilt knees, kneeling is a no-no. So the whole experience is a bit challenging. Thank you, Katie and Shannon, for pitching in. The image of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, whether we reenact it or not, is a powerful one. Remember Jesus' words, "Whoever among you would be first must be a servant of all." That image is important. For me as a pastor, when I did participate in washing parishioners' feet, it felt like an appropriate image. All of us, especially those who would be seen in some form of leadership, need to understand that as followers of Christ, servanthood is what we are called to do and to be. Jesus goes on to celebrate the Passover with his chosen 12, and he notes clearly that he knows that one is about to betray him. Understand that that is perpetually true of the community of faith. Just as Judas struggled with his brokenness, he stole from the disciples' treasury, and if we put the best possible construction on his betrayal, perhaps he hoped that he was forcing Jesus to step up and destroy the enemies of God. As a side note, Jesus still included Judas. And he includes us, even at our worst moments. But God's ways are not coercion. And as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In dying to humanity, Christ invokes the divine will of God. So it is in this Last Supper, our sacrament of the altar. When we eat this bread and when we drink from this cup, we are joined to Christ, to his death and his resurrection. The parting words of Maundy Thursday are Jesus' charge to his disciples and to us. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another." If last words of advice are important, these ought to stick with us for good. There are the last words from the cross, but these are the last words of our commissioning, to what it means to be followers of Christ, that we love one another as Christ loved us. And in the role of servant, kneeling to wash another's feet in our daily living. To be honest, that awkwardness of trying to do the ritual foot washing several years ago in Minnesota, it's not a bad image for us today. Others will feel strange and awkward as we attempt to serve. It may be even countercultural to be a servant in this dog-eat-dog world. Yet servanthood is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. And as Paul tells us, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. We belong to Christ. Amen.